In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, blessings on this third Sunday after the Feast of the Epiphany. We are still in the midst of the Christmas mystery. So you've not taken down your Christmas tree. You are on solid theological ground. You technically have till February 2nd, the Feast of the Presentation. But that's a sermon for that day. But we are in the midst still of the Christmas mystery. And through her instinct and wisdom, Mother Church a long time ago divided it into two parts, the Nativity and the Epiphany. The Nativity commemorates the Christ of God, that love of God, quietly coming to this earth, entering this earth through the flesh of the person of Jesus, almost in secret, to the Holy Family in Bethlehem. The Epiphany is when this Christ, this love of God, is manifested in the world with a star that everyone can see, with kings representing every race, color, and culture, with the voice of God in the baptism saying, "This is my Son." And we couldn't have the second without the first. The first was made for the second, but we couldn't have that without the Nativity. So we have this amazing relationship in the cycle, Nativity and Epiphany, Epiphany and Nativity. So we come today to the great call of the first disciples of Jesus. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And if we believe in the second letter of Timothy, when Paul says to this young Timothy that all Scripture is living, we have to believe that as we hear the story today, that light bulbs, epiphanies, will take place in our souls. So expect something from the sermon. Expect something from the story. Since I was a little boy, I was fascinated by the story of the calling of this first disciple because it seems so impossible. Come out and make you fish for people, and poor Zebedee, the father, they just took off his workforce, left all the nets and the weights and the tangledness, everything with their father, and they just left. And I thought, how did that happen? What are the odds of success? Yet some scholars say, well, you don't know that they didn't know Jesus. It never says they didn't. It could be that they had been in dialogue. They had heard the teachings. Maybe this was the end of a long process. Or maybe the Messiah had a sixth sense. He just knew, and they had inspiration to say yes immediately. They left everything, and they followed Jesus. Whatever the case, it stuck. Also, a curious thing was no preconditions. It was always preconditions. When Jesus called the rich young ruler to the same invitation, come follow me, there's a precondition. Go sell everything you have, and then come give to the poor and come follow me. In church, when you're baptized, confirmed, married, ordained, you have preconditions. Do you believe this? Well, you do this, that, and that. But Jesus just said, come follow me, and they did it. It reminds me of the old phrase of old fishermen. God cleans his fish after he catches them. There was plenty of formation and conditions to come. The disciples would well know that in time. The call seemed so fast and immediate, but it was a beautiful call. Now, hold your finger there. I tell another story that will bring right back to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. I read once a haunting story of a man who carried two crumpled pieces of paper in his pocket. One said, I am but a speck of dust. The other said, the world was created in me. And he carried both crumpled pieces of paper in his pocket because in one time he was reminded he was both. In one hand, we are a speck of dust. The trillions of years of existence of this universe and even the existence of planet Earth, much less our lives, in just a few decades, not even a blink of an eye. I gave less flights to a man once, and I was offering comforting words, and he said something so strange and haunting to me. He said, Father, 20 minutes after I die, I will be forgotten. And it was strange because it was true, when you think about it. And we're reminded of our mortality and the fragility of life, and every Ash Wednesday we're not, when ashes are placed in our heads, and we say, remember that thou art just, and the just shalt thou return. When we bury a body in the ground, in the deep, or in a resting place, such as we did yesterday for Father Peter Carey, we say, all we return is the dust. We are but a speck of dust. But it doesn't end there. The second half of the sentence is, but even at the grave, we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Because the purpose of our faith is that we're loved and known by God for all eternity. The book of Ecclesiastes says that long after we've been forgotten as if we've never lived, we're known in the heart of God. He knows every hair on our head, even after we've lost them. He knows every tear that we've ever shed. And that's not just a promise of faith. It's a premise of faith. It's who we are. It's what we believe. And so, yes, we are just, we are, the world is created for us. Now we return to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were specks of dust in the eyes of the Roman Empire, in the eyes of the religious authorities, in the world. They had no status, no standing, no education, no title, no nothing. But they loved the Messiah of God. And they allowed themselves to be conduits of God's Spirit, and they changed the world. The world was created for them, as it is for us. And sometimes they took four steps forward and five steps backwards. They were not perfect. They even left our Lord at the time of the crucifixion. Remember that? Only Mary and John stayed to all the, and they fled. But you know what? They came back. They came back. And they hid in that upper room. They returned. The relationship stuck. The call took. And so, the story begs the question, if the call was for Peter, James, and Andrew, and John, what is our call? What is our call? Because each of us has a call. And each of our calls is as precious and as beautiful as Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Now, when we think of human calls of ministry or to faith, we remember the more dramatic ones. You know why? They're more interesting. They are called. I mean, look at St. Paul. He's knocked off a horse. When the voice of God said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Wow, that's good. I remember once having a history professor teach a confirmation class in the Sunday school. And I've never in my life, and I've never heard him, of academic make the history of the church come alive like this man. People are at the edge of their seat, believe it or not, with church history. Who would have thunk it? And he was there, and people adored him, and they came to know Christianity because of this man's talent. He had humor, and he had a depth, and he was studied. And during the question and answer period, someone just said, well, how did you become a Christian? And he had one of those dramatic stories. He said, well, I was an atheist, not even agnostic. I didn't grow up in church. I knew nothing about it. I was an academic. But my neighbor's son was being baptized, and I got an invitation to go to church. And just like I would accept an invitation to a wedding, a reception, a party, I accepted. And I went to church, and it was a principal church. And there was this prayer called the Call for Purity. That we began the Mass with every day, Almighty God, from all hearts open, all desires come, from whom no secrets are written and edited by Thomas Cranmer of England. He said, by the end of the prayer, I was a Christian. My love for the English language and something in the Spirit of God, I was a Christian. I was amazed. The man who taught me to pray the rosary had an amazing story. He was on the beach one day as a teenager and had an apparition of Mary standing in the waves introducing him to Jesus. I ran to the beach. I looked at the waves. I didn't see that. But it changed his life. So we have these beautiful stories. Most of us were honest. Our stories are simply continued, steady experiences of Jesus. Continued, steady experience of Jesus. We go to church and slowly live our lives. That is the confirmation of the Eucharist. We walk our lives and slowly grow. And even those who have dramatic experiences, that's not the last lifetime. Then they have to go with a steady, continued experience of Jesus. One thing I like and appreciate about Billy Graham, in the end of his crusade, when people would come and they had these great experiences, he personally would go to them and say, you go to your town, and you go to your church, whatever denominations you are, whatever traditions, and then you go from there, and you commit yourself, because it's not enough by in and of itself. So all of us are called to a continuous, steady experience with Jesus. And here's the point of the sermon. If the call of Andrew, Peter, James, and John, if that's the living story, it's our call too. Every Christian, each one of us, should be able, in a period of 5 or 6 minutes, maybe not 20, 5 or 6 minutes, be able to articulate our call. What is your call? What is your story? Because you never know When you have you are called to go fishing. When the Holy Spirit might bring someone into your life to ask you, what is your story? And we need to be able to tell our story. The family invited the professor to church, and we have to tell the story. They just did a simple thing. Would you come to church for my son's baptism? And think of the lives that have been changed that one simple invitation. And so it is with them, so it is with us. What is our purpose? Every call, no matter how ordinary, is precious and beautiful and has something to say. People say, John David, what is your call? Expecting some dramatic thing. I didn't have a call. I just went to church. It was everything it should be as a child. It had no money, no programs, no youth group, no nothing really, except people who tried to love Jesus. And I had a priest that was good to me. And at 8 years old, he said, would you like to be an altar boy? And he took me to the hallway, and they had a hook with my name on it. And at 8 years old, that was the biggest thing I'd ever had. I had my own hook. And remember, Jesus taught the adult, but he blessed the children. If a child is blessed in the church, a child is growed in his or her faith. And I was blessed, and it stayed, and it took. How blessed it was. And so my story was just a continued experience with Jesus growing up. And hopefully it will always be. What is your story? What is your call? Amen.